We've previously been working with the assumption, seems to be the consensus of most post-game, when it comes to things that we treat as Kali Habisha Lakumra, Iker Din, not be Kali Habisha Lakumra, and we're not sure what's considered Kali Habisha or not. It's not a specific bar, so we treat them as Kali Habisha Lakumra. And it's something that is a Dabar Yavesh, but would be Mimuach in water, that we would allow you to put that in Sheni. And you don't have to pile up the chumras to assume number one is considered Kali Habisha, that would be Mufasha and Klisheni. And number two, that something which liquefies would also be considered a Dabar Lavach for purposes of Bisha and Farbisha. So that's relevant to sugar, it's relevant to coffee, relevant to things of that consistency that are already cooked, that are in a powder solid form, and will be Mimuach in water, where the consensus of post-game, this was explicit by Adam. Consensus of post-game is that that would be mutter to put in a machine. We spoke a little bit last time about instant coffee or Nescafe. Call it instant coffee for our purposes. I want to talk a little bit more about that now. Just to correct something that we said last time, Ramosha in his Tshuvas to Rabbi Eider, even though he writes he himself is machmir only to use instant coffee or the like in a shlishi, but Mikra Din, he held that it was mutter even the Iroi Mikri Risha. Not only the Tushain, but even the Iroi Mikri Risha, which Amin Yitzchak disagreed with in terms of Iroi Mikri Risha. We'll talk about Iroi a little bit later today. That was Ramosha's position in print regarding coffee. Mishabrua is Mitzayin in the long Mishabrua Sepatalam Kesavati, which we'll get to some later. He's Mitzayin in the Tshuva L'Chasam Sofer, Chelek Aleph Arachayim Siman Ayin Dalet, Chelek Aleph Ayin Dalet. It's more, that's more, that's bigger than that. Not only can you put up a chin, you can even pour water from the Mishabrua. The Chasam Sofer, Chelek Aleph Siman Ayin Dalet, was addressing a phenomena of, this is before instant coffee was invented. Apparently the earliest instant coffee was invented around the so this is before that, but real coffee grinds. So he was addressing the Shaila as it's presented, that the practice in Hamburg is that on Shabbos they pour hot water from a Kli Rishon onto ground coffee beans, where they already had been hot water poured onto it in the Erev Shabbos, then dried out. Now you're putting hot water over it on Shabbos. Is that permissible? So get shortly to one nekuda that the Chasam Sofer makes, but the Chasam Sofer's conclusion is that if in fact the coffee was at least roasted beforehand, the assumption in terms of the processing of these coffee grinds is that they were roasted before Shabbos. Now you're pouring water over them that would constitute bishul. That's a question of bishul achatzli. So if you were to be mako on bishul achatzli, then it sounds like that should be okay. But the Chasam Sofer says you should only do it ayidei nachman. Have your non-Jewish neighbor pour the hot water over the coffee grinds for you. It's not so clear. If you were to be mako on bishul achatzli, why is he saying you should do it ayidei nachri? Morashabis suggests his maracha on coffee is in Chelek Gimel, the Morashabis. He suggests page Nun Zayin that maybe he was misufak as to whether coffee grinds were really edible beforehand, so maybe he wasn't even asleep. But without explanation, the Chasam Sofer says if you were to we're koshesh that yesh bishul achatzli. If you were to assume that ain bishul achatzli, then he says it would be mutter al yedei. No. Okay, we'll come back to another nekuda that Chasam Sofer. Well, that we don't necessarily go from it. That we basically pass on that you need to be, as we'll see, is at least the Vashik. If you have my focus, we show
That's better. I need to just record it for backup.
Okay.
So no one should miss Sheeran just as soon as he'll get the recording. So Rabbi Eider says, it's not necessarily pasha that we should view it as nisbashel klaksacho ahead of time. Perhaps the bishul done in the factory was not a complete bishul, and therefore would be subject to further bishul when you put the water, you mix the water and the coffee. That might be analogous to what we saw in the Zera Emes, the second reason about the machmer and sugar, that the sugar isn't fully edible before you mix it in the water that you're mixing it in, as far as the sugar that he was talking about in his time and its use. And the other thing that Rabbi Eider raises as a possible concern with Ramosha's position is that as part of the process of manufacturing instant coffee in the factory, maybe there's both bishul and sli. There is cooking going on. There's also roasting going on. And there's freeze drying going on. Maybe that's a form of afia. So in that process, it could be that there's bishul and sli or afia. And then we're talking about a potential concern of bishul achar tzli, or bishul achar afia achar bishul, which we saw pre-Berlacha was no to lahachmeran, people got to mismekalam, but that was a discussion in Achronim as to whether we're concerned about bishul achar tzli achar bishul, bishul achar afia achar bishul. So maybe as far as the processing of instant coffee, you have to be concerned about bishul that's subsequent to tzli or afia that's subsequent to bishul, which could be a problem. Moshe was assuming that that's not a concern. So if we are going to be mako, that we're not worried about these two other considerations, what would that be based on? So the Mora Shabbos points out over there, that chasim sofer that we quoted a few moments ago has the following consideration. Chasim Sofer writes, again, it's Aruch Chaim Ayin Dalet. Gedolim izeh melech shenisbashel mimayim yesh osir masal lisito lesocha tafshel b'shabes, mishom ein bishel achar bishel. Magen Avraham. V'harei bevada yohav taimo letafshel. Mikal mokom kevan shakvar nisbashel kol tzarcho. Lecho kach b'tivule yavesh pas v'tzonein v'chadome shuv les bay mishum bishul. If you have something that is nisbashul already and edible in its previous nisbashul state, even if it's further enhanced by subsequent bishul, then we don't say yesh bishul achar bishul there. Ulefizeh hakofi shiroi lachila kishu kolu v'kasush v'ochel mosel kach. Then we'll say that'll be mutter even if there's subsequent bishul going on. So the coffee that was roasted in his time, the coffee beans that are roasted are edible as such. You could eat roasted coffee beans. Then we're not worried about subsequent bishul. If it's edible enough, and edible in that state, we're not worried about subsequent bishul, even if in general we would be worried about bishul la'achar tzli. So it says the Mora Shabbos, maybe that's relevant over here as well, even though instant coffee is not generally consumed without heating it up further, but it could be, you could sprinkle your instant coffee on, he says you could sprinkle your instant coffee on cheese, on leaven, on other food items, so maybe that's enough to make it sufficiently edible that we wouldn't be concerned about, or that would make it considered this bashal kosarcho enough because it is fully edible in its current state, even if it's further enhanced by mixing it with water. And as far as the consideration of bishul achar tzli, achar bishul, says the Mi'or Shabbos, it could be that the bishul subsequent to the tzli or to the afia doesn't really add anything to its taste, to its status. That's what we saw in Ramosha Tshuva Chelik Beis regarding tea leaves, where subsequent, where they're already dried out, subsequent treatment may not in any way enhance the taste. So maybe then we're not worried about Bishul Achar Tzli, Achar Bishul. The Mora Shabbos says he had it back and forth with Rishon Mazamin about this. In Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, footnote Kuf Nun Hey, he quotes from Rishon Mazamin. Rishon Mazamin said that there's no problem. Everyone would agree, says Shmir Shabbos Vishem Rishon Mazamin, everyone would agree that it's mutter to put instant coffee in a klisheni. So the Mora Shabbos asked Rishon Mazamin, why weren't you worried about Bishul Achar Tzli, Achar Bishul? So to that, Rishon Mazamin said, it's hard enough to understand why the Mishabru was machmir about that in the first place. Prima Gadol was mekel, the Ilaita was mekel, Shvi'is Shabbos is mekel, the many of the Gedolei Achronim were mekel on Bishul Achar Tzli, Achar Bishul to begin with. So Rishon Mazamin said, it wasn't so clear why the Mishabru was machmir on that anyway. And even according to the Mishabru, maybe this is better because there's no appreciation of the subsequent bishul as such, meaning in the factory it was already cooked and already roasted or baked, whatever you call the other treatment. And now you're putting it into water, so it's all going to dissolve instantaneously anyway, so there's no real added taste or noticeable shinoi that's affected by the subsequent bishul over the previous sleep. So Rishon Mazamin wasn't bothered by Bishul Achar Fi Achar Bishul or Bishul Achar Tzli Achar Bishul. The Mora Shabbos does quote from Rav Yashiv that Rav Yashiv was concerned about Bishul Achar Fi Achar Bishul when it comes to instant coffee, and therefore Rav Yashiv paskined that you should only make instant coffee in a kli shlishi and not in a kli sheni. And then he writes in the Mora Shabbos that he asked Rishon Mazamin, why aren't you worried about molid? If you're, let's say, putting the instant coffee in a cup and you're going to pour hot water over it, so aren't you biyadayim liquefying the instant coffee? Why isn't that a problem of molid? So in Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, Perek Yud Beis, footnote Tes Zayin, he quotes Rishon Mazamin's position on this. The time of Dein Choshishim Mishim Nolad Bamasas HaKafei, Al Karchach Mishim Danu Somchim Demutu Lerasik Afila Biyadayim, So we assume, as we discussed many shiurim ago, that if it's all going into a mixture right away, then you can crush something even if it's going to change state in the tarobes. The ena b'fnei atzma mamish, afshenikar b'tarobes. Even though you could see where that's happening in the tarobes, it's not considered nikar b'fnei atzma. Vafilu machnirim shelol lahamis cut. Karach b'sachem ayim. Even if we'll say to be machmir not to actively crush ice into water, ha'inu mishum davi kein skita. There you're ki'ilu squeezing out the ice cube. The kavalei mayim, davi mashke. V'chi agav nechashiv kemurav. But over here, that's not what's going on. You're not, it's not as biyadayim. You're not squeezing out the instant coffee granules. And therefore, Shlomo Zalman didn't think that's a problem of molid. So that is the general consensus of most poskim, that at the very least, you can use instant coffee in a cliché. Okay, yeah.
The svara, then, it's already chetzi edible by sprinkling it on cheese. That was
it's more than chetzi edible. It's wholly edible.
Right, yeah. That svara was to solve the first issue?
That's
really all coffees with bushel?
That right, you don't have to worry that maybe it wasn't fully cooked because you can't eat it. It's not usable if you're not going to mix it with water again.
Because at the very least, it has that level of sprinkling on food.
Right. Okay. Now, we've been foreshadowing for a while the topic of Iroi. Well, let's just treat that for a few moments on its own merit. And that is a major machlokas among the Bali Tosos. How do we treat Iroi Mikli Rishon? If you pour something from a Kli Rishon onto a food item, what is the status of that Iroi? What level of Bishol does that affect? So that is discussed by two Tosasim in our Parak. Mem Beis Amabeis Giver Maskal of Al Nosein. Mem Beis Amabeis Giver Maskal of Al Nosein. Lamin Tosam and Aleph Giver Maskal Kol Sheba. And among the Bali Tosas here in our Parak, there are three positions as to how to view Iroi Mikli Rishon. The position of the Rashbam is that Iroi Mikli Rishon is Kikli Sheni, that there's no, if you pour something out of a Kli Rishon, it's no worse than mixing the food item with water in a Kli Sheni. There's no yichus of the Iroi, even if it's lo nifsek hakiluach, even if it's a straight stream, there's no yichus of that Iroi back to the Kli Rishon. That's the position of the Rashbam. Iroi Kli Rishon is Kli Sheni. And then Rabbi Natan is of the opinion that no, Iroi Kli Rishon, Mikli Rishon is Kli Rishon. That water pouring out of the Kli Rishon has the status of a Kli Rishon. And there's a further machlokus within Rabbi Natan. What does Rabbi Natan hold about the Bishul affected by that Iroi Mikli Rishon? Is that Mavashil Kula or Mavashil Kadei Klipa? And then the third position of Bali Tosus is that Iroi Mikli Rishon is Kikli Rishon, but it's only Mavashil Kadei Klipa, it's only Mavashil, the outer level of the food item on which the water is poured. Now, Gemisha points out Perakov Beis Halachavav, Perakov Beis Halachavav, that the Chachme Svar, the Ramban Rashba, seem to be of the opinion that Iroi Mikli Rishon is not Mavashil, is not Kikli Rishon, even the Klipa. But he says that you should be Choshesh for the Machmirim. And that's what we end up with in Shulchan Aruch. A very fleeting reference in Simon Shin Yuches to this topic. But the Mechaber writes in Sif Yud, Aser Litein Tavlin Beka'ara Velara Saleh and Mikli Vishon. You can't put Tavlin on a plate and then pour water on it from a Kli Rishon. So that's Sasum in the Lashon Mechaber in terms of what Bishul is affected by that Iroi Mikli Rishon. The Mishnah Berurah tells us, Sivkatan Ayin Dalad, after Tavlin Ein Misbashel B'Kli Sheini B'Chanal, Mikal Makam Iroi Mikli Rishon Kaimelan Dehu Mavashel Kadei Klipa. The Mishnah Berurah tells us, we assume that Iroi Mikli Rishon is Kli Rishon, but it's only Mavashel Kadei Klipa. So Mishnah Berurah, quoting from the Magen Avraham, tells us that we pass in that Iroi Mikli Rishon is Mevatel Kedei Klipa. Rabbi Kiva Eger, on the side of Shulchan Aruch here, on Sif Yud, quotes from the Isser Beheter, Ein Isser El Laros Alatav Lanatma. When do we say that Iroi is Mavasha Kalei Klipa, is Kikli Vishavata Kalei Klipa? That's if you're pouring directly on the tablet. Aval Lishbach Bitsidan Lo. But if you're pouring onto the table, onto the counter, and then it's going to flow onto the tavlin, that is not mivashel. That's called Iroi Sheniskal. It's flowing. It doesn't go directly onto the tavlin, onto the food item. That we're not worried about being mivashel even kedei klipa. And then he's mitzayin and prima gadim in Yerideya, who's machmir on that. But Rabbi Akiva Eiger seems to be saying that Irish and Nischal is not Mephashal. Yeah.
One
you pour it onto the walls, and then if, well, if it's basically going to be instantaneous, then that's probably regular Eroi. If there really is a delay, there it's a tall kli and it's going down the walls till it hits the tavlin, maybe you consider that like Irish and Iskal.
Why is that any different than the counter?
Meaning,
if I pour it on the cup over here or pour it on the counter, which is the food, why is that any different?
If it's going to reach it in a second, meaning it's really all flowing down. If it's if you're pouring it into the cup and it just it touches the wall before it touches the bottom in a second, I don't know if you really view that as niskal. It's kind of all
about
sachas.
Why does Rabbi see that? How does Rabbi see that in Rabbi Akiva Eiger?
I don't necessarily. Okay, maybe you're right. Yeah, I don't know where to draw the line. Maybe. Okay. Rabbi Carr points out that given that we paskin iroi mikliyushin as mevashel kadei klipa, then if you have something with a clearly defined klipa, it could be that iroi mikliyushin would be permissible if it's something that's not mevashel b'klisheni. I mean, if you have something that's definitely not kali abishal and it has a defined klipa, let's say you have a walnut. So a walnut has a very clear klipa. So if you would assume that a walnut is not considered to be mi kali habishal, then it would theoretically be mutter to pour water from a kli rishon onto the walnut because it's not mevashal any more than the klipa. We know what the klipa is, and it wouldn't affect the food that's inside the walnut. Yeah. I'm not saying that it's not. I'm making a theoretical point.
Is there anything practically that we wouldn't be concerned with?
Well, yes, I'll get there in a second. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Why are we not worried about the bishul and the klipa of the walnut atzmo?
Because the walnut's not food. The shell is not food. That's not edible.
I thought we said you could be over a servicial like by heating matefet, like we're melting it and...
If there is a toelis or a shinoi that's affected by welding the metal, then that would be bishul. But if it's something that's not at all affected by the heat, that's not bishul on a non-food item.
So then even if the walnut was in theory kali bishul, it's not ochel, so it doesn't matter.
If the walnut...
The walnut shell.
If the walnut, if it wasn't kali bishul... No, if it wasn't kali abish, if it wasn't kali abishal, the kali abishal is just relevant to the whole picture. Meaning, if something is kali abishal, so you're going to be. So the heat that's affecting the nut itself is like klisheni. So that's the special klisheni. But for your point, you're correct.
You're saying that if it's kali abishal, then the heat that cooks the klipa will cook the is it klisheni?
Meaning, if iroi mikli rishon is only mevashel kadei klipa, that means it means the effect of the kli rishon is only kadei klipa, but it still has the effect of bishul klisheni. So it'll be mevashel the rest of it with the strength of klisheni. Shmir Shabbos kol chasa sif nun vav. paskins that you're allowed to pour hot water over a baby bottle, the Iroi Mikli Rishon, because Iroi is only Mavashil Kadei Klipa, and the water and the bottle itself is a Klipa. So we'll talk about that when we get to Amana in terms of the Amana ramifications, but in terms of the Iroi, so Iroi Mikli Rishon Mavashil Kadei Klipa, and the Klipa is the bottle itself. In the Dirsha Mishnah Brura, he quotes from Tshuvas Or L'Tzion. That's Rabbi Sina Bishol. So he quotes Tshuvas Or L'Tzion Chele Beis Perek Lamed Dine Bishol B'Shabbos Os Gimel. Or L'Tzion Chele Beis Perek Lamed Dine Bishol B'Shabbos Os Gimel. That you can pour, even if we'll assume that you're not allowed to bag, that you're not allowed, we're choshesh that a tea bag is kali bishul, so you can't put a tea bag in a klisheni. But just like iru miklibishon is kiklibishon, iru miklisheni is kiklisheni. But if you're going to, so you wouldn't be allowed to pour. You shouldn't be allowed to pour from a klisheni over a tea bag because that's potentially kali bishul. That's a spashel even in a klisheni. But he assumes the Or L'Tzion that the bag of the tea bag is considered the klipa, and therefore the only thing that's going to be in the spashel at the level of a klisheni is the bag itself, and therefore that could be relevant as far as pouring from a klisheni over a tea bag. That's assuming, as the Moreh Shabbos points out, that the tea bag we're looking at is not porous, that it's there are no holes in the tea bag. And then you can maybe entertain that you would consider that to be a klipa. Yonatan.
Talking about
a klisheni. From a klisheni. Even though you can't put a tea bag in a klisheni because that's potentially kali bishul, but if you assume you could put in a klishlishi, then iroi mi klisheni has in a klisheni, and that's all the vashel kadei klipa k klisheni, and the tea bag, the bag itself would be the klipa.
And the shmishavos
kirochas,
the bottles, where
is that down? That is se'if nun vav. Yeah.
Well, if we assume everything's klisheni, and therefore it's mevashel, sorry, kali bishul, and therefore everything's mevashel and klisheni, do we, and iroi kli rishon is worse than a klisheni, so then
right. We
always assume that iroi kli rishon is mevashel kulo?
No, we assume that iroi kli rishon is mevashel kadei klipa, with the strength of a kli rishon, but it would, the rest of it would be considered like a klisheni. Meaning, if you pour something, if you pour from a klibishon over kali habishol, so the klipa's worth is nispashel from a klibishon. The rest of it is nispashel b'toras klisheni, which is also awesome because you can't be mevashel kali habishol and klisheni.
Mm-hmm. So all these kids, like the baby bottle and the walnut, are just assuming the milk and the walnut itself are not kali habishol.
Right, water is definitely not kali bishul, milk is not kali bishul, and okay. Maybe all liquids aren't kali bishul like the Alter Rebbe. Correct.
Okay.
But halacha lemaisa, Shmir Shabbos points out in Sif Nun Hey that you shouldn't pour mikli rishon over any substance that is subject to any substance that is subject to bishul b'kli rishon, and any substance that anything that is a davar yavesh that is nimuach, where we'd be makel in a klisheni, but machmer in a kli rishon, you'd be machmer on irim a kli rishon. So to pour from a kli rishon over sugar, over instant coffee, over any kind of powder. So Ramosha we saw was Me'ikaradin Mekel, even Be'iroi Mikli Rishon, Shir Shabbos Kolchasa says you should be machmer on Iroi Mikli Rishon, any of those substances that we are choshesh, at least in that case, that we treat something that is going to be nimuach as a davar lach for purposes of bishal achar bishal, even if it's already been nisbashal. So that's why the consensus is, as we said, when it comes to instant coffee and the like, kli sheni, yes, kli rishon or iroi mikli rishon, no. So, yeah.
If I remove water from an urn, does that even have a kli sheni in the cup, or is it kli rishon?
The urn is a kli rishon. When you're pouring the water into the cup's a kli sheni.
Okay, even though the water is like malar kichot, it's still considered a kli sheni.
There's a chazanish apparently is machmer in that to treat something that comes directly from the water source as a kli rishon, but the standard psak is that that's a kli sheni. Okay, let's talk now about tea on Shabbos, and that's the famous Mishnah Brura in Sivkatan Lamed Tes. Let's read the Mishnah Berurah together. V'ata nevayer din bishul aleyatei hashayek bekamen yadim l'sivzeh. So the Mishnah Berurah had tea leaves, he didn't have tea bags. Hinei tei b'shabes pasha b'poskin d'yesh ba misham bishul. V'meizi yesh b'esher skila v'shal yichiv chatos. V'alkei nishizar ba ma'ot. V'abin haseinah rabim nechshol nebo makil la'atzman b'kulo sh'em ha'mamish. So you definitely can't pour mikli vishon or put in the oven that is clearly an act of bishul. So even if you're going to put the tea leaves into a kli after you pour the hot water over it, you have to be choshesh that tea leaves are kali abishal, so it's going to be nispashel even a klisheni, so klisheni won't help you. What should you do? So if you pour hot water over the tea leaves before Shabbos, so if you're going to pour hot water over the tea leaves before Shabbos, the tea leaves will at least be cooked. And then you should mix in the hot water the tea leaves back and forth, because then you'll be able to cook as much of that as you could cook by moving it around. So you'll expand the reach of the kdei klipa. The acher kach yarek is the essence of kli acher, and then whatever liquid has the tea in it, you should pour out. Kadeshish aro leyateyaveshim. Then you're going to be left with dry tea leaves that already were cooked kdei klipa. Via mutter lalaris acher kach b'shabes aleim mayim chamim kli rishon. Then, technically speaking, if you have tea leaves that already were nisbashel before Shabbos, you can now pour hot water over the tea leaf on Shabbos from a kli rishon. Kaim shakvar nisbashim er Shabbos kedin darvi yavesh. The kaim lamisiv zedin bishul acher bishul. I feel in his time, even if it cooled off. The im yishar b'mashka essence, because if there's going to be some of the liquid there, then belaf there is bishul acher bishul. So that's the Mishnah Berurah's initial suggestion. And he says, that's not great. V'da, the afshi tarnu laris chamin al aliyatei va'kofi, im nasin aleyim the esmal mayim akli rishon, Afa Piken Yizar Shelo Yamid Sateva Kofi Betanur or Bekechlin Akha Shishavakle Mayim, the Ain Ir Mivashi Rakate Klipa, M. Kalin Espashal Esmal Rakate Klipa, Vashavaidea Mother Betanur Yisbashal Gamri. But the problem is, if you do this Eitza and pour water over the tea leaves before Shabbos, it's only Mivashal Kade Klipa. Then you run the risk, if you're not careful, of being Mivashal more than the Kade Klipa on Shabbos itself. So for that reason, the Mishnah Berurah says there's a better Eitzah. Vinei, Ofen zeh shebeyarnu af she'en limchos b'yadon ogen bo. So it's not the end of the world if you do that. You pour hot water over the tea leaves before Shabbos, then you remove the leaves from the water, you dry them out, and now you can pour hot water over those tea leaves on Shabbos itself. So if you do that, it's not the end of the world. It's not the best thing, because it's hard to be mishar what was the kadei klipa that was cooked before. Maybe you'll end up cooking more than that kadei klipa on Shabbos. Therefore, Mishnah Berurah says, what's the better Eitzah? Mikol makom kasu achronim, Eitzah hamufcharis mitzah, even better. The hainu, she yisaken essence me'er Shabbos legamri, that you should just prepare tea scents on Erev Shabbos. Shelo yitzdarech laros v'socho od roskin l'machar b'Shabbos. You won't have to pour anything over the tea leaves on Shabbos. U'l'machar, k'she yitzdarech lishtos, so you'll make the scents on Erev Shabbos, you'll have a high concentration of tea leaves and water, and now you have highly concentrated liquid tea scents. And then on Shabbos, when you want to have your tea, yitein ha'essence hatzonein l'soch ha'kov sheshosebo achar she'iru hamayim mecham l'socho. So you'll pour hot water into a kli sheni. So now you have a cup of kli sheni water, v'nasa kli sheni. And then I'll pour the scents into the kli sheni. Hu adin shemotu laseis l'socha kos hazeh shu kli sheni chalav shenestane. Aval asir la'aras alei m'kli rishon, but you can't pour from a kli rishon over these scents because that is bishul b'kli rishon iru kli rishon k'kli rishon an adavar lach. U'kisha essence. Shelo, einot sonein, hu bevadei tov lasis b'zayidei kol hadeos. But he says, if the essence is not nistan legamri, then better to put it in first and then pour the hot water over it, because that would prevent a potential concern of tzviya, of coloring the water, which we'll talk about when we get to tzveya. In Ikara, then we assume ain't tzviya ba'ochlin, at least where it's not your intention to be tzviya ba'ochlin. But the Mishnah Berurah says, all things being equal, if you could avoid that problem, also great. But more important, if the essence has cooled off, then you can't pour from a kli sheni over it. You have no choice but to put that water into the kli sheni first, and then put the scents into the kli.
In terms of the first solution, so once you do iru mikli rishon into the tea leaves,
right,
and like you mix it around, so right, if you have water there, it's considered kli sheni. So
in the first solution, he's saying then you're going to pour the water out before Shabbos, and you're only going to take the dry tea leaves,
correct,
and then you're going to pour water over the dry tea leaves on Shabbos.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So I'm saying before you pour it out,
mm-hmm,
so you're doing this Erev Shabbos, you're pouring from, you do iru mikli rishon,
mm-hmm,
onto the tea leaves, which is mevashel kadei klipa, but
right,
the water sitting there,
right,
is a kli sheni.
Okay.
Right. So mm-hmm, then if that, so to the extent that kli sheni cooks the tea leaves,
right,
it should cook the tea leaves when you mix it around. Like even without mixing it around. So then the tea leaves are just sitting in the kli sheni. So then like why are we assuming that it's going to be cooked more when you cook it in a kli sheni on Shabbos? Meaning when you pour when you put that essence into a kli sheni on Shabbos, and we're saying
no, I think
not the essence, the leaves.
No, the concern is that you're going to be pouring from a kli rishon over the dry tea leaves on Shabbos, and some of those dry tea leaves weren't especially yet in a kli rishon, so now...
So why can't you just add those to a kli sheni on Shabbos, the leaves?
Why couldn't you add those leaves to a kli sheni on Shabbos? They're already dry. You're putting them in a kli sheni, but if a kli sheni is mevashel kali abishal and is considered kali abishal...
You already cooked it. Official.
You're saying whatever would have been cooked at the level of kli sheni has already been cooked before Shabbos. So it's true, the Mishnah Berurah says you're going to run into trouble if you're going to pour from a Kli Rishon over those dry tiglis on Shabbos. But can't you put the dry tea leaves into a Kli Sheni? So it could be we're concerned that maybe we don't know exactly what's been dispatched before. Even if you pour the hot water over the tea leaves for Shabbos, and then you had some accumulation of water that the taste of the tea leaves, the color of the tea leaves seeps into. So do we know that that has maximized what the bishul potential is for Kli Sheni? Is it possible that if you put in a Kli Sheni later, there'll be further bishul?
Isn't that the definition of bishul after bishul?
Right. Okay, not sure. I guess I'm more thought on that. In the Sharetzion in Sifkata and Samach Gimel, he raises two pikpukim with the first approach. One of them is the Prima Gadim that he references a few Sifkatans earlier. That's only relevant to the Eroi, that the first Eroi is Vashel, because they Klipa, maybe the second Eroi is Shabbat going to be Vashel more. And then he references a Piskei Tshuva Chadash. I'm not sure what that is. Let me take a look. Okay, not sure. Give that some more thought. But as far as the Mishnah Berurah's preferred recommendation, that you should make concentrated tea scents before Shabbos, and then you can put that directly into a Kli Sheni. So he's assuming that there's no problem here of Bishul Achar Bishul, even though this is a Dover Lach. And that is consistent with what the Mishnah writes earlier in Sifkatan Kaf Gimel, the beginning of Sif Dalid, where referring to Dover Lach, the Mechaber writes, if you have something that's Nisbashel Klok Sarcho, Yesh Mishum Bishul in Nitzanein, says the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkatan Kaf Gimel, V'Alkein, Asim in a Torah laniach tafshil azeh b'shavus malkam cham shiatz ledes bo ula ari v'asob b'tafshil raseach b'klisheni yishla hakel. You could be makel to mix a liquid that's already been cooked with another liquid in a klisheni. So the Mora Shabbos discusses, is this assumption of the Mishnah Berurah that you can mix a already cooked liquid with another liquid in a Kli Sheni, only working with the understanding that the Ramah Mikra Adin holds that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul B'Davar Lach, and to the extent that the Ramah says we're only makel of its lone and sign of Lagami, that's a Chumrah. But Mikra Adin, the Ramah assumes that Ein Bishul Achar Bishul B'Davar Lach at all. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah says you can be makel to mix a already cooked liquid with another liquid in a Kli Sheni. Or is the Mishnah Berurah kula even if you assume that the Ramah holds that Mikra din yesh bishul achar bishul b'davar lach? After all, there is a position of the Alter Rebbe that we saw in many Achronim that we're not worried about Kali Abishul if it's any kind of mashka, not only chalav and mayim, not only shemen and mayim, and therefore any liquid, we wouldn't be concerned about kali bishul, and there'd be no restriction on putting it in a Kli Sheni if it's already been nisbashel. So the Mora Shabbos quotes Dayan Weiss, Minchas Yitzchak Chelakei Simen Kuf Kaf Zayin, Chelakei Simen Kuf Kaf Zayin, who writes, Tzarech Lom, or Masha Kassim, Mishra Brua, Yesh Lahakel, Hainu Aflaman Lechosh, Yishita Samachaber. He assumes that this is irrespective of what you hold about Bishal Achar Bishal B'davar Lach, that as long as it's not Yad Nichves Bo, if it's only Yad Seled of Vobakul Sheni, you could mix liquids that have already been cooked. So says Sitz Eliezer, Chelik Yudal et Simen Lamed Beis, Chelik Yudal et Simen Lamed Beis, who also points out the position of the Alter Rebbe as well, that any liquid, we're not concerned about Kali Habishal status, and therefore, if it's already in the Spashal, you could put in a Kli Sheni without restriction. Orach HaShabbos, footnote Kuf Samech Hei. Points out from the Mishnah Berurah, you get the impression that he's not even Machmeran Yad Nichves Bo. There's no indication of any distinction. The Minchas Yitzchak wrote that the Mishnah Berurah would only be Mekel if it's Yad Seledes Bo, but not Yad Nichves Bo. And Orach HaShabbos points out there's no indication of that in the Mishnah Berurah. It sounds like he assumes that when it comes to Bishul Achar Bishul B'davar Lach in a Kli Sheni, which anyway is subject to Machlokes, the Mishnah Berurah didn't think you needed to be Machner, even if it's Yad Nichves Bo. So you don't have to take the temperature of your teacup. Orach HaShabbos raises another potential concern. How are you making this sense before Shabbos? So, you're probably pouring water from an urn into a cup and then putting tea bags in the cup to make your scents. So the bishul of that scent, of the tea bags, is taking place in a kli sheni. There's no bishul b'kli rishon. So if it was the case that you have the sense that was made in kli sheni, and then you're putting it in a kli rishon, then the kli rishon might be mevashel more than the kli sheni did. But lemaisa, that's not what's going on. You have your sense that was made in kli sheni, and then you're putting it in another kli sheni. So then there's no concern of the fact that it was only mevashel to begin with in a kli sheni. The bottom line, the Mishnah Berurah's preferred method of making tea on Shabbos is to make tea scents and mix that with or put it into hot water to kli sheni on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah does not tell you to make tea in a kli shlishi. And that goes back to what we discussed last time, different indications in the Mishnah Berurah. Where do we rely on a kli shlishi? Where do we not rely on a kli shlishi? Even though the Mishnah Berurah in some contexts says rely on a kli shlishi, for example, in the Bishul Acharfia context, prima gadim, but he doesn't over here. So the Mishnah Berurah sounds like was only a fan of a kli shlishi where the whole bishul of a kli sheni is only a chumra anyway. But where we're concerned more mikar din, as when it comes to tea, where he was kosher, that's kali bishul, then a kli shlishi won't help you, like the lush of the Rayim himself, that there's no difference between a kli sheni and a kli shlishi. Just a curiosity, I was curious to see, because I had not noticed any other lushan in any rishon addressing a kli shlishi other than the Rayim, so I did a quick Bar Ilan search, and it seems that in the context of bishul b'shabbos, not in the context of chatzi nezek tzuros, where the rishonim talk about kli shlishi, but in the context of bishul b'shabbos, correct me if I'm wrong, but I wasn't able to find any other Rishon that has a Lashon of Kli Shlishi. So it's discussed by the later Achronim. But among the Rishonim, the Urayim seems to be the only one that has that formulation of noting such a concept of Kli Shlishi in the context of writing, that there's no difference between Kli Sheni or Kli Shlishi. But Rav Moshe was of the opinion that you can make tea in a Kli Shlishi, and then you don't have to come on to preparing your scents at a Shabbos. Now, if you don't have scents, then presumably you can take instant tea, the kind of instant tea that's like instant coffee that they sell, and mix that into a kli sheni the same way that you would instant coffee. I think the bishul process is the same. So Lipton, I don't know what it's called, but instant tea mix, like instant coffee mix, would presumably be the same as instant coffee. Yeah.
Didn't we mention that, like, the Rav's, both of his, grandparents considered, tea to be...
Right, that's what Rav Schachter quotes, that Rav Schachter says he has an Nefesh Rav, that the Rav said that Rav Elia Pershner made tea in a... Klishenian job is because he didn't think it was Kali Bishul, or Chaim held it also, correct?
Do others assume that? Is that...
I think the general consensus of the poskim is that we are Choshesh for T being Kali Bishul, but Rav Schachter quotes that from the Rav that he didn't. Correct.
Rav Schachter's very cool.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Does that mean that in the message Shabbos we wouldn't answer it?
It would probably, I think that the Rav is probably a big enough a person that we can rely on for Maaseh Shabbos purposes. Mm-hmm. Definitely if someone did that, right. Meaning if you were invited to the Schefters for a Shabbos meal and they offer you tea, I think you could have it.
So when I recommend when making tea on Shabbos, trying to be Yosei all the Shittos of like Rav Moshe and Semi Manoshach, or
could you go like the Rav? I'm not... if you follow Rav Schachter for everything, then I think you can follow Rosh Hashanah for this. But if you, you should follow your poskim. Can't cherry pick your kulos. Okay. It's interesting. The Rav Shechter quotes in the Rav that cliche that tea leaves are definitely not Kali Bishol, and it's Nisbashel in a, and therefore you can put in a klisheni. The Aruch HaShulchan screams that tea leaves are so Kali Bishol that they even got cooked in a klishlishi. So I don't know if the tea leaves in Navardic were of different grade than the tea leaves in Chaslavich. Okay. What is the status of a ladle in the world of Kli Rishon versus Kli Sheni? This comes up initially in Rishonim in the context of Hagola. Tosos of Azar Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, Dibur Maskel Kinsa. In the context of Hagala, which needs to be performed in a Kli Rishon. Tosis Mesopik, if you have a ladle that you put into a Kli Rishon, and then you have hot water in that ladle that came from that Kli Rishon, does that have a status of a Kli Rishon that you could be magil something in that ladle? Most of their quotes in the Ri was Machmir, not to be Magil in a ladle. The Taz, Yoridea Simen Sadi Beis of Katan Lamed, Simen Sadi Beis of Katan Lamed quotes from a Maril in Hilchos Pesach. Maril writes, the Al Yishov min Akli Shabo Haroskin B'Kli Acher. So you shouldn't draw water from the boiling pot into another kli, velaros mimenu lahagil, mishum the kli shashoi vimo hu kli sheni. If you're going to draw water from the kli rishon al gabe eish, that ladle has the din of a kli sheni. Venisbatel bo bishol aroskin tarem shem agilan, and the effect of the roskin from the kli rishon is going to be interrupted before you affect any hagala. Achein, im shoa es a kli shoa vimo tocha kli shem vashem ba roskin u beoche hu sha malen amay mesicha shaper miskri gam hu kli visha. So if you're going to put a ladle into the big pot and then remove the ladle, that doesn't have a din of kli visha. If it's still in the pot, then that still has a din of kli visha le'inyin hagola. So quotes the Taz in the Maril. He says the Taz, bidvarim elu mashma, Shem shoev mikli rishon vahotzi roschim mikri acher kach kli sheni, that if you remove the ladle, that's called the kli sheni. V'yesh b'din kli sheni v'tam hasim od says the Taz al zeh. Da ba'oda b'kli rishon akli hazeh shetochi bo gamu kli rishon. Da magila mikli rishon keil m'mafle mehem habalua. So, if it has the din of a kli rishon when it's in the, when it's in the pot, what difference does it make that that you removed it? The koach of that kli is driven by the koach of the ladle is driven by the pot that you inserted it in. So mali, if it's still in the pot, mali, if you remove it from the pot. That's what the Taz assumes. Here also, in Sifkatan Yotes, that even once you remove the ladle from the pot, it still has a din of kli rishon. So in the context of Hagala, whether we define the ladle as a kli rishon ends up being a kula that you can be magil inside the ladle. In our context of Shin Yuches and Arachayim, it ends up being a chumrah that I treat the ladle as a kli rishon, le'inyan affecting bishul. But that's what the Taz assumes over here in Sukkot and Yotes, like the Taz in Yeridea, that the ladle has a din of a kli rishon even once you remove it from the flame. Shach, Yeridea, Simon Kuv Zayin, Sif Katan Zayin. Simon Kuv Zayin, Sif Katan Zayin. Anu Machzikin Akafa, Hishaita Kuva Gedera Atzma. Ne'achar Shevtsia Atam Yakdera Vasachas. V'chashiv Kli Rishon L'chumra. That we treat that ladle as a Kli Rishon L'chumra. Kakazi Bisser V'heter. That even if it's removed, it's still considered like a Kli Rishon. So what do we assume halacha lemaisa in the context of Bishul B'Shabbos? Says the Mishabrua, Sif Katan Pei Zayin. This is commenting on the din in Sifu Gimel that you could put a Kiton Shalmayim in a Kli Sheni, submerging it in hot water, but not a Kli Rishon. Says the Mishabura Pezayin, Kli Sheni Mikri Kisha Iru Min Kli Rishon, Sherasichu Achamin Besachel Sel Kli Zeh. Umbadra Filim Yatzel Edesbo. Avalim Shoe Bekli Reka Mito Kli Rishon. Yesh Omrim Didino Kikli Rishon. Ubefrat imasha kli reikam v'socho ad shemala v'sicha v'ade mikli kli rishon. So he says, if you're inserting the ladle into the kli rishon for a brief amount of time, yesh omer, that's a kli rishon. If you insert it long enough that the contents of the ladle boil, then that's v'ade considered to be a kli rishon. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes here in Sifkat and Pesayin. However, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sifkatan Memhe This is in the context of the Chumra of Bishul Achar Afia. Towards the end of Sifkatan Mem He, so what should you do if you want to put challah in your soup? Elam rotza litein pas yamtin ad shelo yehe yatzeledes bimerek. So either you wait until the temperature of your soup dips below Yasledesbo. As I saw in the Shmuz Yitzchak, he quotes from the Yosef Omitz. Yosef Omitz was Sefer Minhagei Frankfurt from, I think, the 1600s. There's a trilogy of Minhagei Frankfurt spanning three centuries. The Leket Yosher, Talmud of Shmuz Hadeshen, then the Yosef Omitz, and then the Noah Kitzon Yosef. So the Yosef Omitz writes that at his Shabbos table, someone would stick their finger in the soup to make sure that it was below Yatzeledes, but before putting in the challah. Not a very yekish thing to do. But so that's what Mishnah Berurah says. Option number one is you wait until it's less than Yatzeledes. Oh, shalachol apochos, yishav bekaf min akadera, kedei sheti akara kli shlishi. Or, option number two is spoon the soup out with a ladle. So the spoon, the soup is a kli rishon. The ladle becomes a kli sheni. And now your soup in the bowl is a kli shishi. And le'inyin bishul achar afia, you can be mako in a kli shlishi. So the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkatan Pesayin just says, quotes the opinion that you have to be choshesh that a ladle is a kli rishon. Here he says you can be someone that it's a kli sheni. Minchas Yitzchak explains chelakei simen kuf kav zayin os gimel chelakei simen kuf kav zayin os gimel. That where we're dealing with a chumrah, the status of a ladle is a sfeika didina. So if you're just talking about the chumrah of Bishul Achar Afia, So then you're fully within your right to be mako that we treat the ladle as a kli sheni, and then your soup is a kli shlishi. You can put the challah in your soup. If we're talking about something that's usher the kli sheni mikra din, so then the Mishnah Berurah is not so fast to be mako to treat the ladle as a kli rishon. So according to Mishnah Berurah, it would be mutter to put challah in your soup, even if your soup is yas ladispo, if you use the ladle to remove the soup from the pot and then put it into your bowl. Rav Schechter says the same thing. He has a one sentence haggah, or two-sentence haggah in Rabbi Willig's English Bishul Sefer for saying this, but I just was talking to him after Mincha to confirm, that even the Rav, who didn't think that there's a independent status of Kli Shlishi, that a Kli Shlishi that's Yatzel Edesbo is no different than a Kli Sheni that's Yatzel Edesbo, but Le'inyan this, where Bishul Achar Fia is a Chumra anyway, Bishul Achar Fia is a chumra anyway, then if you use a ladle to remove the soup from the pot and put it in your bowl, then you could put challah in the soup, even according to the Rav. If anyone wants to do some experiments, or maybe we can do this in our Bishul lab, I'd be curious to measure the temperature of soup the second it comes into the bowl, and then at what point, how many seconds or minutes after it comes into the bowl, does it dip below 113 degrees? So if anyone wants to try a controlled experiment, I'm sorry?
Do they make soup for this year?
So maybe when you come for Shabbos, maybe we'll have we'll make extra. We can come before Shabbos and experiment, right?
Doesn't it depend on how hot the soup is to begin with?
Yeah, but I think there's a standard. I mean, if you leave soup on the standard source of heat, it's kind of within a range.
You can do a physics calorimetry.
Okay.
We give the numbers in, I'm sure we could kind of figure it out.
Fine, so I'll leave that to you to figure out all the details. Okay, so let's stop here for today.
Recording stopped.